Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are blitzing the East on Grant and Danny. Let's get to our third and final team. And for the New York Giants this weekend, they're just trying to get off the schneid. It's 0-2. People's jobs are going to get called into question if you can't get a win. And this is a winnable game at the Cleveland Browns for the Giants. 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. But Cleveland did look a lot better. Deshaun Watson bounced back this past week.
31st in points scored, 35th in points allowed. Well on their way to being one of the worst teams in the NFL. It's a struggle on both sides of the ball for them right now. Those defensive numbers would be worse, by the way, if Washington could punch it into one of their six red zone trips. They'd be down there close to 31 or 32. There's not much they do well, not much to hang your hat on at this point if you are part of that Giants organization. But yeah, this to me is about survival, as you said. They need something positive at some point to validate all their decision making and sort of these approaches. This is the third year of their build, right? If you're down here, if Washington is, like they're playing a competitive game with the Giants, if we're in that place in 3 years, people should have their key cards revoked and go find employment elsewhere. But that's where they are in this build, and they're a disaster.
This is how you get fired. I'm not saying Dable will, but this is how it would happen. Your first year, you go 9-7-1. Your second year, last season, you went 6-11. And then this year, now at 0-2, you have a really disappointing, bad season.
5-12 kind of a deal.
That would be a one-way ticket, mm-hmm. I would think, to figuring out how to get fired.
Yeah, to fired town. That's where we are. I mean, there's no unit for them. I mean, Malik Nambers is a star. He's fun. He's exciting. I'm intrigued like everybody else is, especially from a fantasy's perspective or even daily fantasy. But there's not much happening here on either side of the ball that's consistent.
Charlotte Carroll of The Athletic, who covers the Giants, joins us to help us break them down as we blitz the East on Grant and Danny. How surprised are you by this 0-2 start and how things have looked for them on both sides of the ball?
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. I don't think anyone's too surprised based on what we saw this summer. We all kind of thought they'd at least be 1-1 heading into this matchup against the Browns, but it's not too surprising knowing some of the deficiencies that were there and watching them throughout the summer.
I do feel like Malik Nambers having a monster game's got to make people feel better. Daniel Jones went from, oh my God, you got to bench him, to a pretty decent game this weekend. I mean, those seem like encouraging signs, no?
Yeah, no, it's definitely something to be excited about in the future. Malik Nambers played a monster game, 18 targets. The next Giants receiver had 4, so he's clearly a huge part of this offense. You saw that throughout the whole training camp. And just to kind of see it come together and see how competitive he is and how hard he took that missed catch, the drop, is encouraging, especially as a Giants fan, if you're watching that.
Charlotte, over the last few years, I know the rankings aren't particularly kind to the Giants, but I felt it in moments, they've had a fairly decent defense, right? Starting with that group up front, they've been able to kind of bother teams. I know Washington's offense has been pretty terrible, and they've taken advantage of that, certainly. There have been some gaudy point totals against them, but in general, I feel like that defense has been decent, if not even pretty good at times. It doesn't feel that way through two games, though. It feels like it's like the kid in front of a leaky dam just trying to plug holes, and there's always a new one springing up. Doesn't feel like they can really take anything away at this point.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've got the new coordinator, Shane Bowen, coming from Tennessee, so they're learning, or they've kind of implemented his scheme, see what happens. It's very different than Wink Martindale's blitz heavy. So that was always, frustrating quarterback through his two seasons here. And so now we've got Shane, where there's more emphasis up front, kind of harking back to the old pass rush of yore of the Giants yesteryear. Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, huge free agent trade acquisition this spring. They were pretty quiet in the first game, a little bit more active this go around against Washington. But still, you know, they had their moments in the sun in the red zone and forcing Washington to kick the 7 field goals rather than score a touchdown.
Yeah, I couldn't believe to that point, like, Dexter Lawrence didn't do anything on the stat sheet other than make 4 tackles. They really didn't generate a lot of pressure. Should we feel good about Washington handling them that way and feel like that's a sign that the Commanders might be pretty good up front, or are they just not really playing that well as a defensive line yet?
I think you can kind of view it as both. I think I lean more towards that they're not as cohesive yet. They're still kind of figuring it out, and they need to do it very quickly if they want to turn the season around and move on from 0-2. But I'd lean more that than Washington. But you never know.
Tough to figure out which Cleveland Browns team is going to show up here week to week, but what are your thoughts on this game this weekend?
Yeah, it's a must win. I know that sounds like a ridiculous thing to say in week 3, and we were saying it in week 2 that it was a must win. But it's just kind of, it's hard to see them really having success with the teams that are on their upcoming schedule, the Giants schedule. I don't know. It's going to be tough, and you're going into the Browns, looking at the injury report that came out. We'll see who all plays. But yeah, it's going to be a tough challenge for sure with Myles Garrett and that kind of pressure that was a lot more or a lot harder to deal with than what Washington generated, I'd say, last weekend.
Charlotte Carroll covers the Giants for The Athletic. Thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. You got it. Thank you.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal, the raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.